Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screening baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love miscommunication. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from a partly open, partly closed, completely confused country. It's Thursday, June 18th, I think. Now I'm questioning it. I'm pretty sure it's 2020. And joining me for this Homes Alone edition, last week I screwed up the date at the beginning of the show, so that's the first thing I heard from everybody about the show. I said the date wrong. So we went in and fixed it. So I hope we don't have to fix it again. Do you think it is Thursday the 18th?
I think
that's
right.
What my phone says.
Of June. See, that's the thing. The last time my phone was lying to me, that's why I got it wrong. It wasn't my fault. I'm a white man. How could I be wrong? joining me today are Julia Madison and Carmen Morales.
Yay!
Woo!
Thank you for having me.
Yay,
yes.
And woo.
As well, what an honor.
Oh, it's
yay
so
and
great.
Woo.
It's great to talk to both of you. I screwed up. I like to have three guests for the games and the whatnot. But now I think I'm going to find out today that two guests might be a better number for these hard to, you know, communicate and banter situations like this.
Oh, for sure. We'll see. We'll be a good test subject. Yeah.
I think you're already killing it because, you know, everybody's taking turns talking. You know, once you get like four or five,
it's like one of us completely stops and then somebody starts. And it's almost as if one person, like this might be Doug doing this by himself and he's just working on all the voices that he does.
Yeah.
That nobody knows about.
I got to say, we got to talk to the two of you individually so people know which is which. Meeting each other.
That's true.
Similar?
Meeting each other for the first time. No, I mean, if they've never heard either of you, so far I've only said, you know, I've said your names, but we haven't attached either voice to a name. That's a fun game people could be playing right now. Is which
That's right.
One,
mystery.
Which one is a Julia and which one is a Carmen? Because I don't think either of you give it away,
it's
really.
True, because I don't sound Hispanic, so.
Oh, no, the game
that.
Is over. Wouldn't that be funny if that was just one of many you were going to say, but that you picked that one first, so.
Yeah. If I was talking like this, it would be a little bit easier for them to figure out which one is which one, pero I don't talk like that, so. is going to be easier for them to figure out. I'm gentrified Hispanic. What's up?
What's up?
I always like to spell out Julia, or I should say Madison, because, you know, to the naked ear, it probably sounds like Madison as in like Oscar Madison, but it's Mattison, M-A-T-T-I-S-O-N.
That's right.
Mattison.
That's right. Mattison, the double the T.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see it that often.
Yeah. Well, it's just because you also just go Julia Matt on the socials.
That's right. I don't know. It was one of those choices I made when, like, you know, Twitter first came out, and it was like, you do the one thing and then you stick to it, and now there's no reason for it. You know, it's the most exciting story I've told for days.
I remember when Twitter came out, I was like, I knew it was gay all along.
Oh, yeah.
By that, I mean, I'm very, very open to it.
Do you guys have like an old screen name that was really embarrassing? Like, I remember my first one was like Sweetie. Like, there was like a big time where like Sweetie was thrown around a lot. So I had like, and in middle school, they used to call me, my nickname was CB, like Charlie Bravo, because they used to call me the crazy bitch when I was in middle school, because I was super outspoken and assertive, made a lot of dudes feel uncomfortable. You know, it was just my testosterone was popping when I was in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was the time.
Made
for
a lot
real.
Of dudes uncomfortable. So my screen name used to be Sweetie, because I was nice. I was like a sweet crazy bitch. So it was like Sweetie CB2. That was like my AIM screen name. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a couple myself. I started with the dumbest and purest, which was Raindrop 1000. And there was no purpose to it, but I spent hours with asking my dad what he thought of it. I remember I was just walking around just like debating it forever. And he was like, yeah, let's figure it out. No reason to it. And then my favorite one, though, was my friend in middle school and I created an AOL handle called Principal T. Lander, which was the name of our school principal. And we would log on and we would instant message all of our friends on weeknights and go, you should be doing your homework.
And, the like, original trolling.
Yeah, that was our original trolling opportunity. It was a thrill ride. There were many like that. It was all never a good one. I don't think I ever had a good screen name that I'm proud of to this day.
What about you, Doug? Did you have an embarrassing one?
Well, yeah, and when you know, when AOL first came along, you know, America Online, I was very excited. But when you sign up, you get kind of taken off guard by you know, having to have a screen name that is going to be the one that they insist is your master screen name that you cannot change. Ever,
yeah,
you know, without starting a new brand new account. So so I was a big fan of the movie Clerks, and Jason Mewes in that movie is always saying Snoogans, and
right,
I think he says in Mallrats too. So I think AOL came out around Mallrats time, so I just went with Snoogans. But it was a blessing and a curse, because then for years, I would get messages from people who thought I was Kevin Smith, because his name on AOL was also Snoogans, but he spelled it, of course, correctly, because his word, or Jason's word, his friend came up with the word, you know, whereas in my case, I'm just guessing how it was spelled. So mine was with an I, and his was with an A. But it turns out more people think it's Snoogans instead of Snoogans, you know? So, so it was a real thing for a while. And then eventually Kevin Smith and I had kind of had it out about it, because I would have too much fun with responding like I was Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith's like, okay, I'm starting to get death threats because of you. Could you chill out? I don't know what you're telling these people.
Yeah, I don't think I said anything terrible, but I definitely like said stuff like that. It's that weird thing where you're like, well, I wonder what they'd say back if they thought Kevin Smith said this or whatever. But
yeah.
But for the most part, I ignored them, but that's also part of the problem. Was that, you know, then all these fans are getting ignored because they're writing to the wrong place. Sometimes I'd write back and say, you know, hey, it's the other Snoog, you know, it's the other way to spell Snoogans. wrong Snoogans.
Well, we're finding that your Kevin Smith was my principal T-lander. We really enjoyed embodying some other people for exciting chapters.
Catfishing people in like a way more nice way.
Yeah, and really in really wholesome ways. Yeah.
In our lives, Kevin Smith and I have intersected in several ways, but a lot of times it's through publicists or just walking into each other at Comic-Con or something. So like, I think he has a pretty strong handle on who I am, but I'm not absolutely sure. So I feel like I skated on that. Like somehow he doesn't have a problem with when we confronted each other about Snoogans.
I'm glad you guys were able to work it out amicably. I'm glad it didn't come to blows over an AIM screen name.
I don't think it ended amicably. I think he forgot about it and then started smoking pot.
That's like second. That's just as good as amicable. Just forgetting.
You know, he's got so many comic book fans that want to argue about every single little thing imaginable.
Yeah.
Like
they wish you guys were arguing about it in like films. Like that would have been a really great World Star video for them. Is you and Kevin Smith hashing out this Snoogans debacle?
That would actually be that would be huge.
Yeah, I feel like he does not. It would be such a minor blip on his radar. Like I feel like it was a really big story for me, and in his life, it's just nothing.
But still, the message boards would be going crazy, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of threads going on with the appropriate way to spell it, even.
I think, like, he's become a guy that the water gets under the bridge for him before it even gets to the bridge.
The water gets under.
You know, like, almost everything he says is got some sort of self-insult in there, like, hey, but what do I know? He's just so friendly and self-deprecating. It's, I can't give Weed all the credit, but holy shit, he's got a really, really pleasant, demeanor.
You know who else does that, but it's in a more aggressive way. Is I think Burr is the same way. Like Bill Burr is the same way in that, like he thinks about how people are going to argue with him beforehand, and then he's like he starts setting up his argument before, like at the very beginning of the bit. You know what I mean? He's like, all right, before you get mad about this, 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 and this, I already thought about this, 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 and this, and this is why I'm saying this. And now here's the thing I'm going to say. Like it's so great.
Yeah, that's a talent.
To don't burp no before they argue.
Don't burp. Don't burp. Yeah. Don't burp.
Oh my God, Bill, the third guest is here. Yeah. Bill's here. You know, hi, Bill.
You know, I keep trying to promote the Staten Island movie. I'm Bill Burr.
Oh, Bill, how are you doing? It's so good to hear from you.
That's the school of impressions that I come from, is you have to constantly say the name of the person.
You have to say the name.
Bill Burr.
Because then it's like, oh yeah, it does sound like Bill Burr, because why would anybody else say that over and over?
Yeah, who would say his own name, yeah.
I'm Bill Burr. Bill Burr.
I'm Bill Burr. Burr.
You know, and then there's like happy Bill Burr. I'm Bill Burr. And then there's angry Bill Burr.
I'm Bill Burr.
Angry Bill Burr is higher, just louder.
Yeah, it's scratchier. Like he doesn't smoke, but it feels like he has the voice for it.
Oh, that's not true. He smoked weed before, though. There was a time he wasn't drinking, and then he was on the road somewhere, and my buddy was featuring for him, and he invited me out, and then they were like, oh, you know, Bill's gonna was trying to smoke some weed, and I was like, what? I was like, I didn't know Burr smoked marijuana. But I think it was just because he wasn't drinking. It was like, you know, something to take the edge off after the show type sitch.
Yeah.
Oh, Burr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
family. That's the Bill Burr parrot.
Yeah.
I wish he was the answer to one of the questions today.
That would be good.
That'd be too perfect to just get our Bill Burr on. But I don't think he's going to come up, except I do want to say that he is very good in that King of Staten Island movie, and that the people that are surprised by that should not be, because he was on The Mandalorian and he played a bad guy who was mean to Baby Yoda. And yeah, you have to be a good actor to not just behave as if Baby Yoda is the most adorable thing you've ever seen.
That's true. That is real talent.
You have to really know how to act, because deep down inside, Bill Burr was like, I can't believe Bill Burr said the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's the cutest Baby Yoda.
That's so fucking cute.
You want me to scream at this fucking football-sized adorableness?
Huh? Bill Burr thinks it's cute. Oh my god,
stamps.
My neighbors
go to stamps.com. It just starts reading ad copy in the middle of the movie.
Oh, Bill, thank you, Bill, for all the joy you bring us.
He's killing on stage, off stage. The guy's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's gonna be like the new king of everything, I think. But I wanted to say, speaking of things that are impossible to not recognize for their adorableness, is that Julia mm-hmm. has a new love in her life.
I do. I've got a new puppy.
What this kind of puppy is that thing?
She's a dachshund mix. So we adopted her. She's now 10 weeks old. We've had her for 2 weeks. And she is, her mom's like a long-haired dachshund and her dad's a mystery. So we don't know who she will become, but she gets cuter by the day. Her name's Ziggy. She's eating everything. It's that thing, like, I always hear the stories. I've never had a puppy. So, I mean, I grew up with a dog when I was a kid, but the truth of it being that, like, if you blink and look away for a second, that dog is trying to eat something that will kill it. Like, I pulled out so many things out of this dog's mouth. Like, I'm like, stuff that there's nothing on the floor, and suddenly she's swallowing a zip tie. Like the head of a nail, or like just some kind of, she was eating wood. And then randomly, it's like within the first week, she was trying to, like, she was out. I took her outside to like go to the bathroom, and she just started screaming because she was constipated.
Oh.
It was one of those things. I was like, oh man, like just one thing, just these puppies, the cutest things in the world. And just nonstop. I'm so exhausted because I'm just looking at all the time right now. She's in her little pen. She's taking a break. But y'all, she's cute.
She's just running a small Ace Hardware store from the pen.
Yeah. She's collected everything you need.
She's a small business owner.
Yeah. Let me just throw it up for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you need?
She's just going through inventory in her stomach.
Yeah. But let me feel around in here. I got
what do you need?
Yarn.
There we go.
Bill Burr!
I run it!
Bill Burr alert!
Is Diggy short for Diggy Dog Dust? Is that what is the full name, Diggy Dog Dust?
Wait, no, I love that. It should be Diggy. It's still Ziggy, so it is the Ziggy Stardust vibe, but I also realized that...
I thought you said Diggy.
I actually really like Diggy. Is 10 weeks too late to change it? Maybe we'll change it.
I mean, it's your dog. Like,
we could change it every couple of weeks. That's so true. I don't think a dog ever really knows their name. It just is the tone. Like, if I'm like, Ziggy, she'll run to me, but I could also be like, motherfucker, and she'll run to me, because it's just the tone, right? No, she's like, Ziggy was from, we like the Ziggy Stardust. We like that the Ziggy Marley, Ziggy means little spliff, which is cute as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't known that.
Adorbs.
But, adorbs. But I sent Doug a picture.
Sure.
Yeah, worth smoking.
You know, when Ziggy gets in trouble, you could say Zygmunt.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's it. She's okay. Her full name now is Sigmund Freud. I love it. I think that's it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get that out of the way, because I thought the puppy might be a distraction for you. So we just want to know if we have a level playing field. Are there any animals in your home, Carmen, that you have to keep an eye on?
No, not at all. It is barren in this apartment. The only thing I'm keeping alive is an orchid, and it's because it likes neglect. That's the only reason that flower is still alive. I'm actually surprised I've kept me alive during this, so I'm questioning
that's the
right
truth.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the resilience of plants can be, it's amazing. They either give up too soon or they stick around for too long. It's weird.
Yeah, I appreciate that this one enjoys toxic relationships because we've been through it.
She's thriving.
It's almost okay. Like I'm a, who was the Tina Turner? What was Tina Turner's guy or whatever? Like the
Ike?
Yes, I'm this plant's Ike Turner in that I'll go too long without watering it. there's some abuse going on, but it's flowering better than it ever has. Like maybe that's it needs negative reinforcement. This plant does, I think.
Oh yeah. I can see that. Maybe you can, you know, maybe
this orchid is rising from the ashes of which I'm creating. You can talk about plant abuse, right? I don't get canceled for that, right? I think that's okay.
Yeah. Plants are plants are fair territory. But you know, it's true. You don't know anymore. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. Who is it cool to be mean to now? I just want to know.
I think that's what we have to do now is just go after inanimate objects and, you know, just things. We just have to attack things more and, you know, love people more.
How many grams of mushrooms are you on? Let's talk
about that. Sounds great.
Yes, please. I want some.
I'm on day 102 of mushrooms and,
nice. I've been a big proponent of promoting microdosing.
Oh yeah.
I don't do that. I don't mess with it, but I have been smoking a ton of weed for sure.
What?
Everything's the same.
Yeah. I didn't mean to drop a bomb on y'all.
I'm shaking right now.
Sorry.
Whoa. Man, I didn't know.
Hold on.
This is gonna be like,
do that.
I didn't know this was a confessions podcast. Holy shit. We are getting in there. That is. I'm glad that you felt safe enough to share that with us. I'm very proud of you that you found within yourself the strength to share that information with us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what else has really been keeping me, sane during all of this?
What?
I hate to admit this. I hate to say this out loud. It's, you guys are going to be stunned. Movies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Here's my question.
I've turned to weed and movies. It's like a whole new life.
Oh my God, I'm just, I'm going to jump out of this window. I can't handle that.
Never touched stuff until this pandemic.
Have you ever thought of like maybe, I don't know, talking about this stuff? Like if you really love weed and you really love movies, like be like two things that you put a lot of your energy and focus on and just kind of push that out there to other people. Cause you know what? Other people like weed and movies. Okay.
Yeah. There might be an audience for that.
You know what? There might be people out there that go, this, you know what I like?
Yeah. This like reminds me.
And I like,
I almost forgot to mention that, Getting Dug with High returns, next Tuesday at 4:15 Pacific time.
See you next Tuesday.
Excellent.
At somewhere, I forget, I don't know where. It might be at betterbox.com, might be at YouTube, might be both.
Oh,
but we're doing it.
Be wherever you can get them. Yeah,
we're coming. Yeah,
totally.
You might just have to get high in your house and pretend it's me, like watch an old episode. But we're going to try. We're going to try our best to be back on Tuesday.
I love that.
You know, remote edition, but you know, it still can be friends getting together and smoking remotely.
Here's my question for you guys. Speaking of movies, has there been a theme among this time of content that you are consuming? Like, you know how like a lot of chicks will have like themes for their wedding. I have a pandemic theme, and my pandemic theme has been nostalgia comedy for me. Like that's the only kind of things that I'm consuming. Is it that those have been my shaman through all of this? Is it's got to be from like 1987 to 1997 comedy. I mean, it's some early odd stuff. I'll throw some early odd stuff in there, but it's everything that I watched when I was a kid that I know I'll feel better with at the end. Like I did a lot of Adventures in Babysitting, Short Circuit 2, Batteries Not Included. I'm going deep in to when I was a kid. So that I know I'll feel good at the end of this. So I'm not taking a lot of risks right now.
This is a thing. Media. I swear to you, I had this conversation. I have Zoom sessions with my therapist because mm-hmm. mental health is important. Mm-hmm. And she said something very interesting. She was like, I was like, why am I only watching movies I've seen a million times? Why am I doing nostalgia watches all the time? And she was like, you know, it's interesting during like times of major uncertainty and like terrifying times, we revert back to our childhood favorite things and movies that we've seen before so we could play out the ending. So yeah. we can see a thing fully end and we're there like no unknowns about it. Mm-hmm. Fascinating yeah, stuff. I'm right there with
drowning.
You.
We're drowning. Yeah. We're yes. drowning in yes. uncertainty. So something that, you know, like I know this is going to work out at the end. And that's why I'm watching it. I want to see something succeed. I wanted to see it. I don't yeah. want to think these protests are for nothing.
yeah. Like we know that Bill Murray's going to be great and Richard Dreyfuss is going to lose it if we're watching What About Bob? Like we know it's going to end with that.
Oh, deep cut.
Same safe ending.
This is like a B-side deep cut that nobody ever talks about. Richard Dreyfuss was in a movie called Let It Ride, where he is like a guy that bets on horses. Jennifer Tilly's mm-hmm. in it, and she's fucking gorgeous. She's incredible, complete dime piece. And she plays this. She plays like the wife of a really rich gambler, and he's just having like the best day ever as far as a betting person goes. And he's like still a short guy in the whole movie. So then everybody starts busting his balls when he starts winning that he looks taller, because like that was a thing back then. Like when you, if you had a bunch of money on you, you were supposed to keep it in your shoes. So, so they just made it seem like he was wearing elevator shoes just because he had some cash in his, these hideous ass loafers.
This takes place in 1994.
Yes. I think it was early 90s or late 80s. Was Let It Ride.
That's when it came out, huh. though, was it? But it was more of a period piece? Or was they, we're talking about Money in Your Shoe that recently?
No, I think it was set at that time. I don't think it was a period piece.
Oh, okay.
Were people putting money in their shoes in the 80s?
I don't remember that.
I think that was a thing for like among gamblers. Like gamblers, you didn't get robbed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so there's a lot of
gambler lingo in that movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I have not seen this movie.
Let It Ride. It's got a lot of it, baby. It's a lot of character actors. It's almost exclusively at the racetrack. And it's, I think it's maybe worth a watch. But like one thing that people seem to want to avoid, or when I say people, I mean me, is, you know, things that are too tense, that have too much tension in them.
Yeah.
They don't need another thing to be really concerned about, especially in my entertainment.
Well, that's why it's so crazy to me that so many people were watching Pandemic and Contagion and shit. And yeah. it was like, what are you doing? I was like, this is already all day. Why would you want this as your distraction? Like, did you watch Tiger King while you were being mauled by a tiger? Like, that makes absolutely no fucking sense. I just don't get that. I want the opposite.
No, it's real. I was so against it forever. And then I finally did it. There was one day, like weeks in, that I was like, you know what? Because I saw, like, it was the number one downloaded on iTunes, whatever.
Contagion day.
Yeah, I was like, let's watch Contagion. Let's do it. Like, I can't resist a trend. And so we watched it. And I realized why everybody's watching it, because again, it gives you, I mean, it's also like a worse circumstance, but it also has a beginning and an ending, and it has people like that seem very intelligent breaking down how to fix it. And it was really surprisingly nice to hear people who actually have a plan about something. And so I was like, oh, I get it. Like, it's better to imagine these people in this magical world where people actually, the government knows what to do and there's a way to make it end. It was fantasy. Oh. It was great.
It's almost like, oh, look how they're doing it on that timeline. This one sucks.
Yeah, this one sucks. But there was it's trippy. Like it was almost one of those, like you have to do, it's like watching, listening to Dark Side of the Moon and watching Wizard of Oz. It's one of those like, you have to like notice the parallels. It's crazy. Like there's so many, like there's a fake drug, like the hydroxychloroquine, whatever it's called. There's a version mm-hmm. of that in the movie. It's ridiculous. But you know, go watch it. It's fun.
You know, all I needed was that. That's all I needed to hear. You know. Yeah. I mean, doesn't Gwyneth Paltrow die rather quickly?
Yes.
Like, oh, I would watch that scene over and over again.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. I'd recommend to people just watch until that happens.
maybe that's it. Just
get a taste. 15. Watch the goop drop and then move on.
Watch the goop drop.
Watch the goop drop dead, baby. Yeah. X is on that drop. Bitch's eyes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Can we have a Gwyneth Paltrow's death candle? I would buy that.
Yeah. She gets real goopy in that death. It's a real goopy death. You know what, though?
The death candle smells exactly like the vagina candle.
Overpriced.
I smell a waste of money.
The other thing is, like, when I have really dark days, I was doing this really insane thing where I was watching Groundhog Day over and over and over again. So I was watching the same scenes, like, in triplicate and, like, quintuplet. Like, there was, like, I'm watching it so many times. And then it got to the point where I was watching it just for the suicide montages. When I'm like, oh, man, or like that, or like that. Oh,
or like that.
Yeah. What about the toaster? Why not the toaster? Yeah.
No.
Groundhog to drive me into a ravine? That sounds amazing.
I'm just imagining you watching this on loop and yelling at your orchid just with all the lights off.
Is this what you wanted? Why didn't you tell me what you wanted to watch? Just lose my shit. Yeah. I mean, I have lost a couple of arguments to a few stuffed animals, opinionated stuffed animals that I have in my room, for sure. But.
Well, you know, they can't all be agreeable after a long time together.
They stare at me with those passive aggressive dead ass eyes and then expect me to not have a reaction. Like, give me something else then.
Say something useful.
As soon as the pandemic started, I put all my stuffed animals away because I just knew that they were going to be all attitude and not helpful. They just stare at you.
It's also because you didn't want them to see you like this.
They just judge you.
That's also true.
They're just like looking at you when you wipe down the counter haphazardly. Like, they just look at you when you pick your nose. Okay, so I've got a game prepared for us to play, or for the two of you to play, rather.
All right.
If you don't mind. But before we do that, we got to...
It would be bad if I minded now, like if I agreed to do the podcast.
Like, I don't know.
That's it.
By the way, I don't want to play.
I'm out of here.
Bill Burr! Bill Burr!
No, we got to go to a quick commercial break, but it's super, super fast. It's faster than you could say Bill Burr. We will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back.
See,
I told you. You didn't finish it. You couldn't get it out.
That was amazing.
How fast it was, but also how slow you said Bill Burr. And welcome back, everybody. I've prepared a new game I'm very excited about. We played it once before, tested it in a few places, but this is the first time the two of you will be playing it. It's called Popularity Contest.
And I should give credit to It's Aaron Berry pointed out this very interesting thing on IMDb, which is a site that I love because, of course, IMDb, but also you can go there for all of your, you know, movie trivia needs. Turns out, ladies, that when you go to a movie on IMDb, for each movie, when you click on cast list or entire cast or something like that, they'll list everybody in the order that's pretty much the order in the credits or the, you know, as mandated by the studio. And sometimes just a weird random list. I never understand. Like, I'm not top billed in my own, like, movies where I'm the main person. I don't feel top billed. Yeah. So it's weird. But if you click on a thing once you have the cast list open, it will flip to a list of in order. I mean, I can't imagine an actor finding out about this and not looking themselves up and not wanting to kill themselves. It lists in order the popularity, who's the most popular in that movie.
Oh, no. That's weird. Great.
Which I think means most searched on IMDb just prior to the thing being clicked on. Mm-hmm. I feel like I feel like that's the algorithm, but it is a little stranger than that, as you will find out in this game. Because what's going to happen is we're going to start with Julia Matteson, because it comes alphabetically before Carmen Morales. But of course, you both get to go first once, because we'll play two rounds of this game.
Okay.
And we'll have a third round ready if there's a tie after two rounds. So I'm going to name a movie, and then this first round, Julia, you go first. You tell me the name of an actor or actress who you think would be the, you know, you want to shoot for top build, the top build person according to popularity and according to IMDb. And then we'll go to Carmen. You get to hear Julia's process. You can agree with her. You can change your answer to something else. But it's 3 points if you get the top build person, 2 points for second, and first for third. And it's, like I said, it's, I think it's based on popularity, a combination of popularity and weirdness.
Love it.
Okay. So it might not be the person that we think it is. It might be somebody else.
Maybe timeliness. Yeah.
Okay.
But also I pick movies where, you know, it might be a kind of a crapshoot who would get first anyway, in case it's the obvious answer. All right. So
it changes, right? So it changes by the day.
I bet it does. Like, whenever I check this, I wrote it down, and that's the official answer. So even if you had a DeLorean, cheating would be difficult.
Right. Sounds good.
Because those don't really go back in time.
That's right.
If you did have a working time machine, yes, you could go back and figure this out ahead of time. Don't leave yet. You have to hear the whole game first, then go back in time to find out.
Yeah. Let's figure this out, this time machine.
For the next Julia.
The killing Hitler thing. Forget the killing Hitler thing. We got to get to the bottom of this movie situation.
It always ends up, it always goes to killing Hitler with you, Carmen. All right. Julia. The motion picture is Magnolia. Lots of actors in that. Paul Thomas Anderson, epic with the frogs falling from the sky. Who do you think in that lot of folks would be the number one, or at least close?
Ooh. Magnolia. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think, like, what's been going on recently. Maybe a John C. Reilly.
Okay.
Trying to think. Yeah.
Oh, was that your answer or no? You locked.
So I'm gonna make that my answer.
Wait, John C. Reilly?
Isn't he in Magnolia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, man, I don't remember. I remember Philip Seymour Hoffman in that movie.
He's the cop that gets all disgraced because he loses his gun. And he meets the girl that's always on cocaine, and she thinks she might be able to have a better life because now she's with the fucking cop.
Yeah, I feel like he was like, he'd be like low bill then, but like a top popularity guy.
Yeah.
These
and that
days.
Ending was it. That was a happy ending then, and now it really sucks.
That really sucks. Yeah.
That she, that, you know, that a cop, that a guy that wants to be a cop is now, is, you know, somehow her savior. Loses his gun.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Okay. idiot. Okay. What do you think, Carmen?
Just at a popular. I mean.
You obviously don't agree with John C. Reilly. You didn't even know he was, you know, you didn't think he was an option.
I totally forgot about him being in that movie.
Long.
The major players are the redhead lady that was in 30 Rock in 9 months, Julianne Moore. Julianne Moore.
Julia just thought you said her name.
Yes. Uh-huh, I just fell asleep.
I'm here.
What?
I wasn't sleeping.
I think Julianne, I mean, so it's not the main, but like it's Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Tom Cruise are, I think, would be the top three.
It's quite the ensemble cast.
Yeah.
You want to go with, you think Julianne Moore would be number one most popular from that movie?
I mean, my favorite is Philip Seymour Hoffman because I love that guy. I'm going to go with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
You know, so dead, so it's he never dead a waste.
He hasn't been doing as much recently, unfortunately.
No, that's what I'm saying, never,
but he gets dead cred, so maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
His post.
It's never a wasted vote, death. Though, for anything
never.
For Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like for president.
Okay. He's part
that's
of
a good write-in.
Go ahead, write it in. Write it in.
He'd be better president
November.
Right now, even.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I loved him. Another one where he wasn't even in the main, he wasn't the main guy, but he was so rad was in Along Came Polly. Along Came Polly is one of those like shaman movies
mm-hmm.
that I love and I watch over and over and over again. That's my
scene where, the scene where he's supposed to give the presentation with no information about what he's supposed to say or do is so funny.
He's clearing his throat constantly.
Oh my God.
So
it is amazing.
Volcano Losing. Such a good movie. Oh.
Yeah, he was great. Okay, so. Julianne Moore did come in third in the Magnolia Damn. Steeplechase. So you get 1 point, Carmen. And then number two, and this is part of the reason why I chose this, because it's so silly. Number two is Patton Oswalt.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
He dies in our first scene.
No, my God.
He dies immediately. He's dead before the credits, and he's the second most popular of all those people right now.
That's amazing.
He's the Gwyneth Paltrow of Magnolia.
He has a goop.
Goop?
Goop?
Hey, don't burn here for goop. I use it. I put it in my mustache.
God, go.
I'm laughing at my own terrible Bill Burr impression. All right, so.
the more you do it, the funnier it gets.
Apologies for not mentioning this yet. Coming in at number one from Magnolia is Tom Cruise.
That makes sense.
Tommy C. He did get nominated for an Oscar for it.
That's true, and he's still quite famous.
It was probably his most unlikable character other than that guy in Cocktail who thought people wanted a poetry instead of a drink. That guy was worse than the guy who teaches
that guy's like the MC.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise in Cocktail is like an MC that does 20 minutes in between comics. You know what I mean? He's the guy that's like... You know, the last comic had a bit about cats, so let me do 23 minutes on cats real quick before I bring up your next comedian. I should have went with the hacky answer, damn it.
Well, you know, he did get nominated for an Oscar for it, so And he is always in the news because isn't he isn't Mission Impossible going to take place in space, the next one?
That's right. Yeah, he's doing his own stunts in space.
Yeah, he's going to space for reals.
Yeah, that would be the answer. I was really taking a shot in the dark with John C. Reilly being as popular as Tom Cruise.
All right, let's play another round. Carmen's ahead by only 1 point, so it's anybody's game.
All right. And,
yeah, and this next movie is, well, you'll see. Who do you think... Who do you think this crazy-ass algorithm thinks is the most popular person in Dreamgirls, the motion picture based on the Broadway musical?
I mean, that's got to be Eddie Murphy.
I mean, in this game, that's got to be is a dangerous thing to put in front of your answer.
Or Jennifer Hudson. I'll go with Jennifer Hudson.
The thing to keep in mind is anyone who's in this movie is eligible. It's really weird. Right. Like they don't just do the main roles. They do like all the way down to the smallest part. Which I hate.
Saw this recently.
Patton.
Yeah.
You looked at it?
You what?
Did you say you looked at it?
Watched the movie recently?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. In the last year. And so that's recent. Yeah. But also, what is a year? You know, what is time?
Yeah.
A big part of me wants to say, obviously, Beyonce. But if we're going weird, I'm trying to dig into that Rolodex and thinking about current events, I'm gonna throw another weird one in because I have a memory of John Krasinski being in Dreamgirls. I think John? wasn't he like a small role in Dreamgirls?
He's like a TV or movie executive or something in a scene with Beyonce's talking to him and John Lithgow.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's just one scene, and they're like, I think they're insulting to her both racially and sexually.
That's right. Just the worst people.
It's a horrible scene. Like, Lithgow's got a ponytail to signify this guy's a douchebag. And John Krasinski's got his Jim Halpert smile on. It's weird.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. And I don't understand any of these musicals where they add some weird talking scene. Although that scene was probably in the original show, but could have so easily been cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, yeah. It's one of those where
unnecessary scenes.
Very much unnecessary. So in this game, I feel like in my heart, it shouldn't be John Krasinski, but there's a chance it might be.
Is that your final answer?
I think instead of Eddie Murphy, I'm going to go with Jamie Foxx. I'm going to go with Jamie Foxx. That's what I want. Jamie Foxx is my official answer.
All right. Carmen's changing her answer well, long past the time when you can do so. But at least it's not just agreeing with agreeing with Julia. So what's your pick, Julia?
Never in my life did I think I'd have to pick between Beyonce and John Krasinski for the lead girls. I'm gonna gamble on the weirdness of this game. I'm gonna say John Krasinski with all the Some Good News. He's in the news a lot. Let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens.
All right. Well, coming in at number three with a value of 1 point is in fact Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
So,
that's what you switched to. Yes.
I'm on the board.
So Carmen's got the 1 point for that. But, you know, of course, I allowed her to switch at the last minute because.
Thank you. I do appreciate
number two
that.
Was, of course, Eddie Murphy.
Damn it!
I should have switched it to Eddie Murphy myself.
Damn it! I feel like I just lost on the pick the suitcase with the more money one.
No, I think here's the sad reality of this game And I'll give you another example of it in a second. But yes, indeed, it is John Krasinski.
Is it really? You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, so Julia wins. You don't really win anything, but it's still an adrenaline rush.
I am rattled and saddened that that is the correct answer.
It's a terrible way to win. But it's so clever of you to figure out. I could have done that to a million people, and they never would have pulled his name out to remember that he was in it, and also to take a risk on him being more popular than freaking Beyonce. That's just bizarre.
I mean, that's the weird thing that I'm like.
I counted down the list to see where Jennifer Hudson fell, and she was number 12.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's a very strange thing, and I'm now feeling like it's more white people type in things on IMDb.
I mean, truly, I'm like, oh, of all the things, John Krasinski to be top billing in Dreamgirls is so sad.
It doesn't make any sense.
There's like 16 black people that somebody could have mentioned. John Krasinski.
Okay. I guess he's in the news all the time now. They tried to cancel him, you know? They tried to bring him back. They brought him back. He's a good guy, apparently. I don't know.
I think he's good. I think he... you know, as a good director, he made that A Quiet Place movie that everybody loved.
Yeah.
And then now he's doing this good news stuff where he gets people together and does nice things.
They're very sweet things. I watched like The Graduation one. Did you watch that?
I haven't watched any of them. I mean, I really appreciate them in spirit, but I just get jealous that, you know, there's this weird thing in the pandemic where when you're super famous, you can get, you know, super famous people to participate in your shit.
Oh yeah.
Everybody else
loves movies.
Look at this lineup, baby.
We're all two just
of
scrambling.
The cream of the crop right here.
We're down here scrambling around. I can't, you know, imagine what kind of guests you guys are getting on your podcast.
I got my dog's vet on speed dial. We got him.
No, I'm very. That's what I. I love just laughing with my actual friends on these things, and it's been working out pretty good in that sense. But check out this IMDb for the movie Two Guns, which I'm glad we didn't actually have to play this one today, because I would imagine neither of you are too familiar with Two Guns starring Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg.
No,
I don't think I've seen it.
Wait. Was that when there were two cops and then they were trying to do a heist together or something like that?
They're together. They're against each other. They're together again. There's a, you know, it's one of those movies where there's a, you know, a twist every few minutes. But in the meantime, lots of over the top, unbelievable action. And, you know, like Mark Wahlberg.
Denzel Washington, he wears like a fedora or something, right? Is it that one? I don't know what movie you're talking about.
I don't think he wears a fedora because there's a lot of gunplay. It's called Two Guns. Mm-hmm. And I believe both of those actors each have two guns. So I don't know why they didn't call it Four Guns. I guess maybe
it should be Four Guns. I have a vague...
It would fit on a marquee.
I have like a vague visual memory of them in the poster, like back-to-back holding guns.
Back-to-back holding guns, pointing them out, and then there was like money confetti.
Yeah. Okay, so that's as far as my knowledge of this movie
and
goes, but I do
sure
remember
Denzel
that.
Washington is wearing a fucking fedora. I'm thinking he's wearing one of those kind of old-timey hats.
It wasn't movie. It wasn't a movie. It was a smart investment. It was somebody that went, let's give the biggest white movie star and the biggest black movie star, let's get them together and give them both guns.
Give them guns. Yeah. There's no script. It's amazing.
It's just, but everybody's in because, you know, everybody, you know, especially the worst aspects of society actually have an opinion of which one should win.
Interesting.
I go into that one wanting Denzel to win, not just for racial justice, but also because Denzel is a million times better than Mark Wahlberg.
I would agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without question.
So they're against each other in it, though? Because if they're back to back in the post, are very misleading.
They are for a time, but then they get, you know, it's one of those things where they keep.
Wasn't it like an enemy shifting of my alliances? Enemy is my friend.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like an enemy of my enemy is my friend, where it was like they're both ended up having a mutual enemy, so they ended up like helping each other out. But originally, yeah, they were like going in on for the original, like, they were competing with each other. It was almost like the one of those classic assassin films where it's like two assassins trying to kill the same person and then they join forces, and like it was one of those.
Yeah.
And then they double cross each other at the end. It's the same mm-hmm. thing all the time. It's mm-hmm. just the dumbest tropes. And
I do love a good con movie, like Matchstick Men. That was a really great con movie. I do love a good con.
Yeah,
well, I've never seen that one.
That's the difference, mm-hmm. though. It's like, this is just violence just for the sake of it. And coming in at number three in Two Guns was James Marsden, which is, that's fine. I like that guy. But between Wahlberg and Denzel, Denzel is number two.
What?
Wahlberg is number one. And there's just no way that if that was a random sampling of, you know, what people like. Although Mark Wahlberg is the number one, the highest paid movie star, or is it The Rock now? I think it might be The Rock. One of them is the highest paid, and the other one makes the most money. You know how there's those like accolades that sound like the same thing, but they're different?
Yeah, what's the difference there?
You know what I mean? Like one of them made it because
highest paid in a movie?
Made it with movies. The other one made it with all of their effort, you know, all of the different enterprises combined. Like there's all these rich lists, so there's always lots of different people on them. But I think they're both very rich.
James Marsden made third just because of Dead to Me. I think that's the only reason why he's even on that radar.
Right, because people are just looking him up like, right. Who is that guy while they're watching Dead?
Yeah, what else was that guy? I know I've seen that guy. What else was he in? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
If we had played Two Guns, I wouldn't have even remembered Mark Wahlberg. I wouldn't even remembered the poster until we really unpacked it. I would have had no points. Well,
I think that was definitely a movie I watched because I was dating a guy that liked to watch movies. I would have
that would be one of those
that one for sure.
I'm super into this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. The guys always get a pick is the craziest. It's so weird to me, you know, as a guy, because you're just like, why would, you know what I mean? Like, God bless them. For, you know, doing what their boyfriend loves. I mean, a lot of times there's a trade-off, like, you know, one for me, one for you kind of things in relationships, which are nice. But it's just that, like, when you look at the box office tallies and what drives movie theater ticket sales, which is teenagers going to the movies, the boys get to pick all the time what mm-hmm. movies they're going to. So that's why these shitty action movies are the you know, and horror movies.
Highest gross.
They want the girl to jump in their lap, you know? So they're just driving.
Highest grossing.
Exactly. It's just so horrible, you know, and as it becomes more and more clear to me, I'm just like, why isn't everybody catching up to this quicker? And then race is another thing. Like, there should be movies made by everybody for everybody.
Yeah,
I very Let's much go. Agree.
What are you Let's doing, go. Carmen and Julia, to help this?
Let's do this. We got to get to work.
I make that dude watch Along Came Polly with me again. That's what happens.
Right, but that's the other thing is that he still wins because Along Came Polly's a perfectly good dude movie.
Well, then he got lucky. Damn it! Like, I mean, it's either that or Rango or The Fifth Element or like any
films
that are gonna make me feel good.
Right, you're making all the choices. This is the thing. It's the mix out of the dude movie versus the not. It's like, what's the line? We don't know. Everybody's different.
Well, here's the thing, too. Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah, there's stereotypes about what people like, but everybody's an individual. But Fifth Element, what you do with that is, as for your turn when you watch Fifth Element, is you make him watch every Chris Tucker scene twice in a row. Like, you just go back and watch Chris Tucker again, because I bet he hates that part.
Well, like, the thing was is every dude that I've tortured with that movie, I know all of the words to that movie. Like, that's how it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So they have to listen to me recite the Chris Tucker parts
over and over again. So I think that's worse. I think they'd rather hear it directly from Chris Tucker than from me.
I don't know, though. Your voice is more pleasant.
That's some special surround sound. That'd be a real experience.
What about, how does he feel about the blue lady who sings?
Oh, it's great. Who doesn't love
that lady?
That's just epic. Okay, come on. That's epic. You can't.
Because they sort of cut back and forth between her and something violent happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why that Luc Besson made that movie for a couple to both enjoy. It's the same kind of thing, like how a Princess Bride always gets a pass by dudes. There's still plenty of movies where they have, like, Along Came Polly is one of those because it's funny enough. Like, it's more funny than it is romantic. So it's like, I also like those movies when it's like, because I'll love that. Like,
that's where Something About Mary really, kind of broke that open, that, like, oh, yeah, there could be a movie where, you know, the women enjoy the humor as much as the men, even though it was still gross out stuff, which I, you know, wish it hadn't become a thing for so long.
Yeah. That whole American Pie era really changed things for sure.
Oh, yeah. One of those that doesn't hold up.
Like, one of those poo-poo caca
movies. Yeah.
It was just like, let's just see how many. And then I always love when it would be like unrated and it's just one scene where you see a chick's tits and it's just like, okay. Very exciting, guys. This is very exciting.
I just rewatched Can't Hardly Wait and it was great. Mm-hmm. It was a great rewatch. Mm-hmm. Still, it's tough in those where you're like, does it hold up or not? Or is it just tapping into that nostalgia element? Where like, you're very forgiving of stuff that might not hold up so well anymore.
Yeah.
But some are eek. I can't do a lot of them. Yeah. Something About Mary, fantastic.
You know what another one is really good like that is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my fucking favorites, dude.
So good.
And I Love You, Man. I Love You, Man doesn't really have like the love story is like a B-plot. Because the friendship story is the A plot, and that's another one that's like incredibly made. I love that movie as well.
Carmen, I feel like you could list off like two dozen movies right now without missing a beat.
Two dozen?
Do it. Go.
Any movie?
No, stop. Don't do that.
Okay.
We gotta go.
Okay. But,
text me later. Just, I want to hear you.
That was my way of saying I wish we had time to discuss all these, and that I'm sure you have many more because you're, I know you smoke weed, maybe not, I don't know, probably the same amount as me. And
I don't know that anybody smokes the same amount of weed that you do. I aspire
to achieve
that goal one day.
You got a pretty strong memory over there. Is there anywhere people can watch you do stand-up comedy, under these circumstances?
Oh, they absolutely can. I run a small little Zoom show that's actually one of the only good Zoom show comedy shows that exists. There's only like four, and one of them is mine.
Hell yeah.
And I do them like almost every week, usually like every other week, and it's $5. It's free if you're a medical worker. You just DM me, and you can Venmo me the admission. It's at the Funny Carmen, or hit me up on all the assorted social media. It's also at the Funny Carmen. I made it easy for everybody to access me. I'm doing one the 20th. That's this Saturday, the 20th. And I have Clayton English and Trey Crowder on and myself. And it's like a super fun party vibe. Like people drink and smoke and stuff. And there's like a fun hang post show. It's a great time. I also have a podcast called No Sir, I Don't Like It, where I have people on and they talk about shit we don't like. And that's always a super fun riff fest. And CarmenMorales.com for all of your Carmen Morales needs. That's about it.
I think I would have too long of a list of things I don't like.
That's why we cap it at an hour. I'm not trying to make it like Joe Rogan numbers here. You know what I mean? Those 3-hour episodes.
I don't know. I guess people probably have the time for that right now, but I just I really like trying to keep things tight because I know when I'm watching anything or listening to anything lately, I like points to be gotten to. Mm-hmm. I don't like a meandering conversation at this point.
It makes sense.
I feel you,
Julia. You're creating. Speaking of meandering, you're creating on the daily, right? Are you doing a song a day? Did I construe that correctly?
You know, we were doing a song a day for the holidays, and we've switched it to a song a week for COVID times, just because for stamina's sake, we don't know when this will end. And so we figured we'd give ourselves a little pace.
Okay.
So we just took a week or two off, but we do a new song every Friday on Instagram at Advent Carolender, CAROLNDAR. It's Advent Calendar. Advent Carolender is in the holidays, and right now we're doing a COVID Quarrelender for quarantine. So we're just doing new quarantine songs every Friday. So we have a new one coming out tomorrow and every Friday after that. For hopefully not forever, you know.
Well, could you tag me in a tweet that has all that information in it? I'll retweet it and say as mentioned on DLM, because there's a lot of spelling in there.
There's a lot of smoke.
You definitely made it difficult for people to achieve finding you.
Yeah. We'd like to be low numbers, you know?
I want people to be able to find it. And I also think that you probably had how many weeks of songs have you done already?
Well, we skipped the last two, so we have about five so far. We started late. We started in a bit late. And so hopefully we won't, you know.
You got 20 minutes. You got 20 minutes. You can probably hear the five songs right now as a fun little listen to them all back to back.
Yeah, each are a minute long, short and sweet.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. You're out in under 10 minutes. And then looking forward to the next one, which will be a week from now.
Yeah, our first tomorrow will be our next one. And then next Friday.
So, it gets so confusing, but we tape this on a Thursday and people listen at first on a Friday.
That's right.
So it'll be today. But also,
forget what I said.
we'll tweet in time for all of this. That's the great thing about taping something ahead of time. But yeah, this will be out late tonight. And thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Doug.
I should say thank you so much for being there.
Oh yes, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, and it's funny. I close every episode now with a line from the final line from a motion picture, and this one I had to write down because I don't remember it. You know, I don't have it memorized, but it's not that long either. But anyway, thanks again. And we'll see you next time. And as always, let's just wait here a while, see what happens.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky.